Welcome to all those who are joining us on Facebook Live. This is always a great experience, an experiment to do these things. So I know we have people from around the country who join in with us, so God bless you. Philippians chapter 2, please. It's just in my heart, just to get this fellowship started here a little bit with a verse of Scripture, if not two. Verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And then here's this next verse. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." That sets a pretty high standard. I like to phrase it another way. Quit complaining. You know, we live in a society where it's very difficult to find anybody who just, for the most part, does not complain. And if you find that person, they kind of stand out to you. I'm going to give you a challenge here. Totally up to you if you want to take it on or not. There's a book out called A Complaint-Free World. It's a 21-day challenge to stop complaining for 21 days straight. I challenge you, if you're so inclined and God is moving in your heart, to take on a challenge for 21 days to not say one complaint about anything. Think you could do it? Not that easy, guys. But it can be done. It takes 21 days, it says, to establish a habit pattern. And that's why it is 3 weeks. A complaint-free world. You know, the exhortation of God's Word is to do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, but right after this fellowship, somebody's going, wah, wah, wah. You know, they're going to be grumbling about something to someone. See, normally they aren't just grumbling to themselves, they're grumbling to someone else. So now they're affecting somebody else in a positive way. Oh, no. No, it says death and life are in the power of what? That little thing in between your... I always got a kick out of it. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. You know, it's better to listen than to speak many times, right? "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Watch what you're saying. See, confession of belief yields receipt of confession. If you're going to just sit around and grovel and complain about how horrible this is and that is and what this person did and what that person did, I mean, I hate to say it, but good luck. Because you will bring to yourself those things that you absorb your heart and mind into. So here's a clue. Stop. Okay, we're members of the one body of Christ. We affect each other in a tremendously important way, far beyond probably what we even understand. You don't see value in your own life, you have value. You don't just affect you. Everything you do, everything you say, every action you take affects somebody. And then that person affects somebody. So you're not an island. You are affecting people. We want to have a positive, godly, wonderful effect on people. Our relationship with one another in the body of Christ is one that's stated right behind here. What does that say? Love one another. Love one another. I think I wrote this statement down. One of the primary activities of the church is and should be one anothering one another. It's just not coming in on Sunday morning and just, you know, hey, how's it going? Nice to see you. And then that's it. We need to be one anothering one another. You know, it's 59 times in the New Testament that the phrase, the words, one another are used together. We're not going to go over every one of those. But there is some great encouragement and some great exhortation in God's Word in the church epistles, especially Ephesians and Colossians, which Ephesians is primarily the revelation that was given to Paul to the church about what? The body of Christ, the great mystery revealed. Corinthians says that the devil would have known, he never would have had the Lord Jesus crucified. You ever remember reading those verses in 1 Corinthians? Had the devil known what God had in store, the mystery, it says that, well, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The mystery. The Jews and Gentiles would be joined together and be joint heirs and full partakers, share fully in all that God has in mind, which is far greater than probably we get a little glimpse of. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world and unto our glory. This mystery which was kept a secret from before the foundations of the world. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have what? Crucified the Lord of glory. Oh my gosh. This is something big. This is something huge. And the way that we get to partake of it is by the grace of God and the love of God. And now God just simply says, extend this same grace to one another, to love one another. We need each other. A number of years ago, we sang a song called I Need You to Survive. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with the words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with the words of my what? My mouth. My mouth. You know who hurts Christians for the most part? Other Christians. See? We can take it from the world. We almost expect it. But man, when a brother or sister that you're trying to tie your heart close together with offends you, Proverbs says a brother offended is harder to be won than a city. See? That's why we have the great example of all examples, Jesus on the cross, forgiving those who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the solution. That's the antidote to offense. But this morning we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3 to keep this going. Just remember, a complaint-free world. What a challenge, man. What a challenge. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll start at verse 15. I'll start 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth and heaven is named, heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We've got a miracle working God. We've got the God of the impossible. Hey, it's not your everyday event where someone gets raised from the dead, where limbs grow back, where the lame are raised, even Pentecost. Talk about a miracle. We mentioned this before. You just learned a language you didn't. You can speak a language you didn't even learn. Pretty miraculous. It's incredible. I'm looking for a verse, though, that has to do... Oh, here it is. All right, 5:15. Practical application, practical exhortation to the church of the body. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming or buying up the opportunity, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Right there is a number of different things that God is exhorting us to do. But I really want to get focused in on this verse 18 and 19. It says, don't get drunk with wine. And I guess that would include hard liquor too. So, but there's an analogy to be made here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is a derivative of the word plerao. And it is the word pleroste. It means filled to overflowing, which is what plerao means. Another way of saying it may be being filled. And it's the unusual expression here in relation to the Spirit of God that we would allow ourselves to be made to be continually made full. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, that fountain of water. Now, here's what one individual said about this, and I thought it was really a very good analogy. The local pub invariably has different kinds of drinkers. Some sip at one drink all night long. Others gulp down two or three drinks, then switch to something non-alcoholic, and some steadily drain glass after glass for as long as the bartender will serve them. The phrase filled with the Spirit has also been seen as being under the influence of. Paul utilized the drinking tendencies of his day, which weren't much different than now, to illustrate the way we should approach our relationship with God. In Ephesians 5:18, he said, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. New Testament Greek verbs denote different kinds of actions, something that doesn't usually translate into English. In this case, be filled is in the present tense, which indicates a continuous or incomplete and ongoing action. When most of us think being filled with the Spirit, we tend to picture something accomplished, like filling a glass with water and setting it on the counter. The tense used in this verse is more like putting the glass under a running faucet and leaving it there. It is in a constant state of being filled. When drinking alcohol, it is best to finish your drinking before you are too much under the influence. In the Holy Spirit's happy hour, the object is to keep drinking at a steady pace and don't stop. Be constantly in the state of being influenced by the Spirit. It's so great, but it makes so much sense to our minds, see, that we're constantly being filled to overflowing with the Spirit. It's a state we are to be in all the time. It's not something external, but it's internal. It's not a question of spiritual gifts and manifestations outwardly, but of the personal presence and the activity of the Spirit of God within us. See. In Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It is something that we share mutually with other people. For to be filled with the Spirit means, in the language of that verse, not merely singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, but speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you'll find that translation in many other places as well. Some of us may well find it easy to sing solos, but much harder to sing in tune and harmony as a quartet or even as a duet. Yet this message of oneness in the Spirit lies at the heart of Ephesians. The fullness of the Spirit is given to us that we should sing together a new song before the throne, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 3. That's a quotation from a book written a number of years ago by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand, The Process of Christian Maturity. Incredible insight that this walk that we're involved in is just not us alone doing it. See, what a great exhortation we have to live with one another. So I want to look at a couple of these verses now that exhort us to live with one another. And so why don't we go to Ephesians chapter 4. I guess many times what we call the great practical section of walking in the mystery, living together as body, in the body of Christ. This is just a side note, but this particular usage of words, love one another, or be one another, used 5 times in Ephesians and 5 times in Colossians. Ephesians is the doctrinal teaching, and Colossians is the correctional epistle. Because you know all 7 church epistles are doctrine, reproof, correction, and finally Thessalonians is like the culmination of the doctrine with the gathering together of the church. But in Ephesians 4:2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, which Vicky and these guys have covered quite well, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Which maybe more literally could be said, be patient, bearing with one another in love. We put up with each other. You know, you just don't have such a short fuse, you fly off the handle with every little thing that's going on just like that. Well, no, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? How come? He says, be patient. Maybe you and yourself are not a patient person. I hear people say that. I'm not a patient person. And yet this is a person with Christ in them. Jesus, I know, is a patient person. So, okay? I mean, maybe in and of ourselves, we are not that patient. But Christ in us is patient. So, you'll have to figure out how that all works, but it's amazing. Ephesians 4:32, Becky shared this, I think, at the close of her teaching last week. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. There it is again. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven whom? You. You know, there was a study that was done a number of years ago, and it was in business publications and Christian journals and this sort of thing. There were 2 main qualities that kept people together and kept marriages together for the most part. And it's also about what keeps relationships together. Kindness and generosity. Think about someone else other than yourself and having... How do you express kindness? Many times it's words, right? You know, if I tell Shelley, oh, you're the most wonderful person. You're radiating. I love your haircut. Those colors look great on. I'm expressing my heart to her. And yet when we get to know each other, we live with each other many times, we're kind of, sometimes it takes a little bit more effort to be a little kinder and generous. It's something to keep in mind. Here's the exhortation of the word. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Forgiving. Forgiving. You know who benefits the most when you forgive? You do. Otherwise, you're carrying the burden of what someone else did to you, and they may not even know it. They live in another state. I don't know. So I guess in simpler words, get over it. Move on. It could be the thing that's holding you back. We've all been wounded. We've all been offended. We've all been hurt. But will we allow that hurt and disappointment and discouragement continue to define who we are for the next number of years? Huh? Forgiving one another. Ephesians 5:19. We just read this one, I believe. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be patient, bearing with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In Ephesians 5:21, here it is. Submitting yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting. That's not a nasty word. It's a good word. It's a biblical word. It's been misused and abused, but in its gracious, most pure understanding, it's a very, very, very positive thing. And isn't it interesting that it comes right before all of the things that God says about the characteristics and qualities of husbands and wives? You know, in a perfect world, this is something people have already learned to do with one another before they get married. I'm saying in a perfect world. Okay. That we learn to listen to each other. We're not always so quick to just judge and jump and correct and interrupt. And this is what I think and this is what... Okay. I appreciate people with opinions. And you got something to say. And I validate you and value your opinion and everything. But it's not important any more important than mine. You know? So let's give everyone kind of an equal footing. That's what God does with us, I think. Five times in Ephesians, then five times in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, 59 times in the New Testament. That's pretty incredible. It's almost 60 times. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. I'll give you my own literal interpretation of this. Don't lie to each other. Don't tell lies. White lies, little lies, big lies, whatever. As we parents would once say to their children, a lie's a lie. You know, cover it whatever way you want. It just says don't lie to each other. How about verse 13? Yeah, we got two in one verse. Wow. Forbearing one another. Again, that's that putting up with each other. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. You know, I think God must know in advance that we're going to have disagreements and quarrels with each other. I mean, this is kind of stated in sort of a, I don't know if you call it rhetorical, but, and if any man have a quarrel against any, it's like, seriously, if? It's like, when we have a quarrel with someone, when we get our heads together, we're not so emotional about it that we can really see more clearly, then we work out the situation according to the word. Ephesians chapter 4, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Hey, yeah, you're going to have disagreements and maybe whatevers. But man, try to get it cleared up as soon as possible. I mean, I'm saying I'm sorry is not that hard. It takes about 15 years to get to know how to say it, but it's not that hard. Forgive one whatever grievances you may have against one another. Colossians 3:16. Again, I think you get two times in one verse. This is the one that we started with when we were talking about mulling the word, meditating upon the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly. in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Admonish one another. Teach one another. Teach one another and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And both of those sections in Ephesians and Colossians are overshadowed by what's coming in Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It may take a little bit of effort, but you know what? It's worth the effort to be thankful. Because you can always find something to be thankful for about anybody. I mean, to actually look at something and just say, I don't see anything good about that person. Well, maybe it's that they're breathing. Okay? They're breathing, so that's a good thing. Or maybe you're wishing they weren't breathing. I don't know. But there's something good that you can see in any given situation. So God is constantly exhorting us to love one another. I mean, we're taking just a brief survey. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Encourage each other. Don't grumble against each other. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other. Do not slander one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. And on and on and on it goes. See? To achieve that harmonious blend, like a great symphony of voices and lives that are melding together to bring this sweet-smelling fragrance to God, who just loves to see unity. See? The Christian church gets so divided and it gets so focused on all the things that are wrong. See? So those of us who really, I think, have a great desire to continue to see the mystery live in our day and time have to get past that, you know, and be able to continue to move forward. So that's a little inside, a little heart sharing on our relationship with one another in the body of Christ. In closing, I want to play this song, which I trust will kind of speak for itself. It is a song that, you know, we've sung, I think, in the past. But just the way it's done, I think you're going to see something really cool in terms of how the body and how our different voices all come together to really make something that's really beautiful and I think does bring great praise and glory to God. So Jeffrey, if you go ahead and play that, I'm going to step out of the way. Mm-hmm.